reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. It's words he spoke after many were carted off to Babylon in the destruction of Jerusalem. And he was speaking to the false prophets of that era. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when that word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 7. It's found on page 1208. And we read Romans 7 beginning at verse 1. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law, to the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, You shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, page 1042. And we read Matthew 10, beginning at verse 34. Jesus is speaking. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on both your gospel lesson and these words from Romans chapter 7. The gospel lesson speaks about the difficulty we as Christians will have in this world while speaking and being faithful to our Lord. And then in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, we read, "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit." This is our text. As Jesus made clear in the gospel reading, as Christians live out their lives in this world, it's going to be difficult. The world does not accept our message or who we are. I spoke about this on other occasions. And the reason for this, and one of them, is simply that when we speak God's word, we speak the truth. And that truth often convicts human hearts where the law of God according to Scripture has been written. Granted, it's kind of messed up. We don't have a clear and perfect understanding of it, but it's there. And when we speak God's word and it confronts the human heart, there's only a few reactions you're going to get. One may be shame and sorrow, which leads to repentance. But if it isn't, the heart isn't headed in that direction, the other reaction you're bound to get is anger and rejection. You know, if I called you all potatoes this morning, you might think I'm crazy. You might laugh at me. But I doubt any of you would feel hurt or injured or say, "Why are you calling me that?" But if you've lied recently and I called you a liar, or you stole recently and I called you a thief, you wouldn't be laughing at me. You wouldn't think I'm crazy. You'd probably be ashamed or angry. That's how people react to the truth. But there's another reason why we are the most despised, the most persecuted people on the face of this earth. And not just in foreign, faraway places. It happens right here. Sometimes it happens in classrooms. Sometimes it happens in the workplace. Sometimes it happens even in families. And it has to do with the freedom that we as Christians have. It was brought home to me just a few weeks ago. I came across a poll that was taken on a college campus. Happened to be the University of Wisconsin. And the person was just interviewing college students who had passed by and were willing to converse. The first question, interestingly, had to do with Muslims. What would you feel like if a Muslim was forced to make a cake, let's say for confirmation, and on that cake he had to write, "Jesus is God and King"? Should a Muslim be forced to do that? And universally, and there was like a dozen or so different college students, universally they said, no, you don't force a Muslim to do something like that. With good reason. If they submitted to doing something like that, there would probably be grave consequences for them in home and in their community. They might be beaten for doing such a thing. Maybe even killed. You know, in most Muslim nations, if a Muslim converts to Christianity, he may be killed. But there's other consequences, as we've come to know, sadly. They might react with violence. They are under compulsion, you see. If they don't live up to their standards, someone will force them to do it. Or if you try to get them to do something they don't want to do, they may force you to stop. Then the next question had to do with Christians. Should a Christian, a wedding cake maker, be forced to make a cake for, let's say, a gay wedding? And what was fascinating is almost immediately they began to say yes. Every single college student. And then about halfway through their response, they would all stop because they knew they were caught. The same rights they might give to another, they would deny to a Christian. But if a Christian was forced to do such a thing, do you think their church, if they were forced to do that, would come over to their home and beat them? Should a Christian be expected to be violent against somebody who would make them do something? No. What's the difference? You see, it comes from this passage. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. We do what we do not because we're forced to, not because we better obey or else, but because God has changed our hearts. And we follow God, not by compulsion, but by trust and out of love. A Christian does what they do because we've been set free to love our Lord and to give our hearts to Him. And that is part of the essence of Christianity, which distinguishes it from all other religions in the world. The sinful world doesn't really get freedom. Oh, people want to have freedom for themselves. Two-year-olds love to be free to do whatever they want. But do they want everybody around them to be free to do whatever they want? No. And so it is with the world. The world seeks after power and control. Oh yes, maybe I want freedom to do what I want to do, but I don't want to grant that to you. Some people think that religious liberty is a, if you will, modern idea. It's not. It's a Christian idea. Going all the way back to the Garden of Eden and to creation itself. When God created people free to reject Him rather than creating just blind robots who must do what their master says they do. They didn't use their freedom well. They chose death rather than life. They believed in a lying Satan rather than a loving God. Well, what does God do? Does He just destroy them and start over, as He could have done so easily? No. He does something which is unheard of in earthly masters and kings. He turns to His Son and He asks Him to come into this world and to assume our human flesh. And for a rebellious people who have rejected His Lordship, to go to a cross, to pay for our sins. He rises again so that in Him, all who want to be in Him may have that gift of life themselves.
But he does not force Jesus upon us. For God is not after our mere obedience. He's after our hearts. The universal Christian cry is not obey, but repent. To change your mind, or if you will, change your heart. And when we do so, he forgives. Not with the price, at least a price that we have to pay. No, he pays the price himself. We are creatures of grace. Undeserved, unmerited, unearned love. Because God, what God wants most from us is our love and our trust. And that's not created by a law. And intuitively, because, if you will, the law of God has been written on our hearts, we know that. If you want to raise a loving child, and I'm going to have you all answer in unison, and I'm quite sure you're all going to get this. But if you want to raise a loving child, do you say, you better love or else? No. If you want to raise a loving child, what do you have to do? Love the child. We love. Because he first loved us. 1 John. God so loved the world. And he did so to release us from the law. Having died to that which has held us captive, so that we may serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. In Christ our Lord, we have religious liberty. We have been set free to obey God not by command, not by threat of punishment, but from the heart. May God, through his love and his mercy, his forgiveness and his hope, help us to cling to that liberty we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.